What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host is Thomas Strantz. He covers the Canucks for The Athletic as well. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. Drantz, we made it. We're here. Canada versus Sweden tonight at the Four Nations. Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, among others, of course, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, go down the list, taking the ice together for Team Canada in Montreal. Man, I'm fired up.
It's going to be fun. Did you see Mika Zibanejad's skates?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man, he's got like Trey Cronar-branded skates. Really goes well with just the overall Swedish drip, which
the
is by
Swedes,
far the best.
They look sharp, man. The color combo and the Trey Croner, like, always look sharp is just awesome. I have no reason to buy Swedish gear or anything like that, except that the aesthetics of it are off the charts. And yeah, this one is no exception. I think the Canada ones look great as well, though, to be honest.
I don't like the word.
You don't like the word Canada?
I don't think it needed Canada in the Maple Leaf from a design perspective. I just think we've never gotten better than 2010.
Outrageous
Canada
good.
Look was perfect.
So good. The best ever.
And then for some reason over the last 15 years, we've been like slowly introducing black.
No, I hate
We don't
the
need
black.
Black.
Hate the black. And yeah. I feel like we do it more at the World Juniors. I don't like it there. I don't think they're going to wear it this year at this event, which is good. Like red, white, that's all we need. Red and white. Keep it simple, guys. Black has nothing to do with Canada. We do not need the black in there for Team Canada. So hopefully they learn that lesson. Not the most important lesson that Hockey Canada needs to learn, but hopefully it's something that they learn at some point. We'll get to the crossover in a few minutes here. Jason Bukala will join us at 1:00, and very exciting as we continue our tour of, you know, prominent international hockey players from years past. Mike Modano will join us at 1:30.
Wow.
Yeah, of course. Hockey Hall of Famer, Team USA player. And I mean, Modano is fascinating because his career really overlapped with like the busiest, most consistent stretch of best on best international hockey. So, I mean, he played at the 91 Canada Cup, the last edition of the Canada Cup, and the 2006 Olympics in Turin, right? So like he, kind of bridged the eras of best on best hockey, played a ton of it for USA. So looking forward to chatting with Mike Modano a little later in the show. Are we good to go with the fellows on the crossover here, guys? Yeah, the control room's not paying attention. Donnie's saying yes on the screen, but we'll see. We'll see. I'll wait and see if we are, in fact, good to go. But, I mean, my big question, first of all, is, and like for this one tonight, because I think we all agree Saturday games, Sweden versus Finland, Canada versus the US, the intensity is going to be there. What do the first 5 minutes look like tonight? That's my big question, right? And we can get into that as well with our next guest because we are, in fact, good to go. It's time for the crossover here with Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal. You can check them out on Donnie and Dolly Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Czech TV. And they join us every Wednesday here on Canucks Talk for the crossover. Don, Rick, how's it going, guys?
Going great.
Good. And for people who can see us, yes, we are wearing the same shirt. And by the way, we're getting a massive echo.
Echo.
In our
We got an echo.
All right.
We've had technical difficulties like you wouldn't believe today.
Yeah, we got echo.
This isn't a surprise.
We've got Drantz remote, so we've just got the empty square here next to me, so he's just the phantom voice. So we got a lot going on. We'll try to figure out.
He's never looked better.
That's right.
We're okay now, though, Donnie. The echo's
we're
gone.
Good.
All right,
we're
wow.
Good.
Crack we're good. Work from our guys here at the control room. We got the echo figured out. So, yeah. Look, I don't know about you guys, but I get all the skepticism to this tournament, and, oh, it's made up, it's an NHL thing, it's only four countries, where's Russia? Like, how can you not be excited to watch Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon put on the Team Canada sweaters and go out there for their country tonight? I'm really hyped. How are you guys feeling about it?
Well, I feel the exact same way, and I think if you don't feel the same way, and I get it, you know, Russia's not there, it's not perfect, Chechnya's not there, the Germans, the Swiss, the list goes on. But you know what? If you feel that way, and you've done this, Jamie, I'm sure, that you look at the players and the way they're going about practice and just the energy level in their interviews after practices and, you know, dealing with the media. And we know that's not always the case. You can tell the players are jacked up about this. You know, I mean, Crosby and McDavid getting to play together. We were wondering if that would ever happen. It is. And I felt jacked up before all of this started this week, but watching these practices, or at least snippets from the practice and the interviews, I'm even more excited about it. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. Canada, U.S., that's the one, obviously, that's the one I'm looking for. Tonight's a big one, too. We have local angles, and you know, there's so much being said. We talked on the show today about Elias Pettersson. He's laughing, he's smiling, going 100 miles an hour at practice
yesterday. Beautiful yellow skates, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Hey, look, guys, if he could use this tournament, Jamie, to kind of, you know, use this tournament to get back to his old 100-point season days, well, hey, who would complain about that in Vancouver? And, you know, he had the good game against Toronto. Donnie called it his best shift of the season when the beautiful pass to Hronek.
You think I'm the only one who said that?
I'm being nice about it. I'm not making fun of you. Like, it was a great shift. But he also, the best part of the shift for me was the pass to Hronek. I mean, my goodness, what a beautiful world-class pass that was. But anyways, if he could use this tournament, he looks like he is genuinely happy to be there, putting on his country's jersey. And he's important for that team, Jamie, because look at lines 3 and 4 for centermen. There's not a lot of offense there. He's got to create offense for that team. He's a very important part for Sam Alam and the way Sam's going to coach that team.
And that's the key.
Sam Alam's the key. Sam Alam's going to be the key, Donnie.
Keeping him
happy. A tournament like this could do wonders for Pettersson. Look who he's playing with. He's playing with Adrian Kempe and Philip Forsberg. So I am really, first of all, Canada go. That's what we're all wishing for, is a Canadian victory. But if you're talking about local stories, I'm really interested to see how Pettersson performs, not just tonight, throughout the tournament. It's going to be really fun to see him and how he reacts to, which has not been a great season for him, let's be honest.
Well, it's interesting, guys, because you look at, sorry, Jimmy, but you look at the situation with Sweden, and if I'm not mistaken, Zibanejad right now is their number one center.
Yep.
And he hasn't had the greatest season. Let's talk about him coming to Vancouver in the Miller deal. He's been under all sorts of criticism. So two underachieving, by most people's opinions, centers for Sweden, trying to turn their games around in Montreal and Boston. And it just adds to the intrigue.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, Zibanejad with his struggles, and then, as you said, Rick, you look down the roster, and it's Eriksson Ek and Lindholm, more defensive two-way guys who will get the job to, okay, hey, go shut down Austin Matthews, go match up with Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid. Like, Pettersson could be the key offensive center for this team, for Team Sweden, you know, a team with aspirations to win this tournament. He's got a really pretty impressive opportunity in front of him. I think it's really important, just for the conversation here in Vancouver, that he did have a notably good game against the Maple Leafs, the last one before, because if he had gone to the Four Nations and it looked like a switch was flipped and all of a sudden he's flying around the ice and we hadn't seen anything, any signs of progress here, I think a lot of people would have been scratching their heads like, hold on a second, where the heck was this guy? At least now you can say, okay, well, he's building on what he did against the Leafs, and you hope that'll come back and carry that progress on if we see it at this tournament.
And one thing no one's talking about is after that San Jose game, Rick Tocchet said he had a closed-door meeting with Pettersson, right? And they went over a lot of video work, power play, move your feet. you know, Donnie's been saying all season long to this guy, move your feet, move your feet. And, well, you hear that in minor hockey rinks all the time, you know, parents yelling at kids, move your feet, or coach. And here's a guy that's being reminded of it almost on a weekly, monthly basis at the NHL level, move your feet. And you know what? I do want to say something else. Pat Brisson, his agent, came on our show, Jamie, and you know that, and said he wasn't really healthy in the summer and, you know, tendonitis in the knee, and he couldn't train like he was supposed to. I do want to say this. He is healthy now. Like, you know, he wouldn't be at the Four Nations if he wasn't healthy. Like, when I saw that practice yesterday in the video, the Canucks posted it, the guy's flying. The guy, you know, he's flying up the ice, and I'm going like, okay, there's no tendonitis in the knee right now, so I want to get that straight. I don't think he's injured right now. I don't think he'd be there at the Four Nations if he was, but this guy's flying yesterday. I just wanted to make sure that, yeah, in the summer, his knee did affect. He did not get started until late in the summer, and then he kind of fell behind because everybody else, you can't just wake up and start training for an NHL season in late August. You got to start going early. And, you know, you guys got all these specialists for food and training and all these trainers. They all got it, so many of them. But I want to say he's healthy now, and let's see where he goes from here.
Most importantly, he has two wingers to help him out.
Well, yeah.
Right? In Forsberg and in Kemp. Because when you're making $11.6 million a season, you have to have great wingers to play with because you shouldn't be expected to help them out.
Yeah, and what do you have in the playoffs? McKayev and Lafferty. You think do you think McKayev and Lafferty, Don, is like Kempe and Forsberg?
I got to say, Drantz will hop in here in a second, but sometimes on the crossover, I feel like we've invited you guys as a couple over for a dinner party, but then your argument that you were having in the car continues into the dinner party. It's like, I'll stay out of this one. This is clearly something you guys have been discussing.
And like a lot of old couples, we bring up arguments that we've had a million times.
Oh, exactly.
And we apologize for that.
Yeah, no, hey, look, no excuses for Pettersson at the Four Nations. He's got two great wingers. You know, make it happen. You know, make it happen. You can't ask for two better guys than Kempe and Forsberg on your wings. I mean, come on. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
Did Sam Lafferty has two goals this season, by the way, Donnie? He had 13 last year.
I've got to say,
Kuzmenko's out of the lead.
This is really strange. This is very strange looking at that empty box here.
The voice from nowhere.
The voice from nowhere.
Where are you?
Like poltergeist.
I'm out of town, Rick. I'm taking a little bit of vacation.
Oh. Sorry, Tom. Go ahead.
All good. Sam
Lafferty.
Sam Lafferty, two goals this season. Andrei Kuzmenko, his career is about as present as I am on your video screen at the moment. Ilya Mikheyev actually has 10 goals this season, but come on. I mean, Ilya Mikheyev had he was on pace to do what? Some of his best career numbers. He had 13 goals in 46 games with Pettersson, and, you know, might hit 13 goals again this season, maybe. Right? I mean, come on. Like, he did elevate those guys even when he had nothing to work with. No, Donnie?
Well, no, but Rick just made the point about the playoffs. So you could talk about that and we could argue about that, but what happened in the postseason? And maybe the knee tendonitis. Maybe that was the situation. But, okay, great regular season. Maybe you have an argument there. Crunch time, though, nobody saw a whole lot of that. So I guess that helps my argument.
It was a bad playoff run, without question. But he was point per game, of course, in the bubble. So it's not as if we've never seen him elevate.
What, 1904? When was that?
I think it was, 1919. Yeah. No, he had point per game in the 1920 playoffs.
I remember covering it.
That was decent. for a 20-year-old center.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask Rick, though, about another injury situation. Is there any update on Thatcher Demko at this point, and what's that sort of means? We know that teams often use these breaks, Rick, to talk extension. Does the Demko injury have any impact on Kevin Lankinen's negotiations and sort of what the club might look to do with him over the course of the next 10 days?
Well, Demko, the big thing is going to be next week when the Canucks, I think next Wednesday, they get back to practice. So will Demko be at that Canucks first practice? That's going to be the key for me. Tough to get an answer on that right now when you ask, Thomas. Being told, though, it's not serious. It's not the knee or the hip. But, boy, oh, boy, that guy coming back next week, or maybe he needs another extra week. I don't know. But he's been injured now 4 times in the past 12 months. He's going to have a hell of a tough time getting a long-term deal from the Canucks if he keeps getting injured. And Demko's durability or lack of it will play a role in the Canucks signing Kevin Lankinen. Canucks are going to have to go out of their comfort zone, guys, to sign Lankinen. He's looking at term and a huge raise on his next deal. Whether he gets that here in Vancouver, he's going to get it. He's going to get his term, and he's going to get his salary. And if the Canucks do sign Lankinen, what does that mean for Artur Seelov? Like, the dominoes that could fall with the Canucks goaltending situation here in the next few months are going to be very interesting, because it's just not about Demko and Lankinen. It's about, you know, their goalie of the future, Seelov's in Abbotsford as well. So Demko's health, can he be durable? Lankinen, you're going to have to give Terman money, because I'll tell you, I don't think he's coming. I don't think he's re-signing for $2 or $3 million. And then what happens to Seelov? So I think it's going to be fascinating, the goalie situation.
Well, what if Lankinen plays well? I mean, we were talking on our show today. I know you guys were watching or listening. And Lankinen's numbers are better than Saros's in the NHL regular season.
Absolutely.
So far. So what happens if Lankinen has to, you know, blows everybody away at this tournament, and the underdog Finns do what nobody expects them to do, and he's the guy? It could just get worse. Maybe a pleasant problem, but for the Vancouver Canucks.
Give the Canucks credit for first, you know, getting Lankinen, because he has saved their season. They're in a playoff spot today because when the top guy was out, he won them a lot of games, collected a lot of points, and was absolutely phenomenal. They're in a playoff spot today because of Lankinen. It was a great signing. They took advantage of a goaltender market that had dried up in July and August. Teams were telling Lankinen's agent, we can't sign you unless we put a significant player in LTIR. There were teams like Colorado in on him. I believe the Oilers were in on him. There was a lot of teams in on him. And the Canucks got him at a really good price. And you got to give them credit for that. That was one of their biggest, in retrospect, Don, it was one of their biggest moves in the offseason was the addition of Lankinen.
And now a big pending and restricted free agent they have, of course. And, you know, we're coming out of this tournament. There will only be 2 weeks before the trade deadline. I think 5 or 6 games for the Canucks between this tournament and the trade deadline. So it's going to come up here in a hurry. And I am curious to see how much business gets done around the league and by the Canucks specifically over this break, right? Brock Besser not there, not with Team USA. He's got some time off. The Canucks have some time off. Rick, should we be on the lookout for potentially a Brock Besser contract extension over the next couple of weeks here?
Checked in on Besser yesterday, very quiet on the contract front. There's 3 things that are going to happen. Either you sign him, you trade him, or you keep him. A decision obviously hasn't been made yet. Clearly, they're far apart. Over 3 weeks to go at the trade deadline. Can he get 8 times 8? Can he get 8 times 8 on July 1st? That'll be interesting. I don't think he gets that in Vancouver. It's going to go down to the wire. And if they're in a playoff spot, you guys know the owner just as much as we do. Playoff revenue, what are you going to get for Besser? Picks and prospects? That doesn't help you stay in the playoff race. So the owner might say, hey, this is a guy, we got to suck it up and keep him.
Yeah, attendance is fairly important to Francesco Aquilini. And do they believe in – how much do they believe in Jonathan Lekaramäki, who seems like the heir apparent for Brock Besser and doing really well down in Abbotsford? How much belief do they have in him? This regime, they didn't draft Brock Besser. They drafted Jonathan Lekaramäki. Can he be a top 6 guy? Yeah. Guys like that just don't grow on trees. But 8 years, I don't know if $8 million is all that bad. But 8 years, that seems like a lot.
Donnie, he's 28.
What types
of
guys do grow on trees? What types of guys do grow on trees?
Ilya Mikheyev. Like
can we find defensemen on trees?
I was going to say like depth defensemen, depth physical defensemen.
I haven't been to the Okanagan in the summer for a long time. I'm not sure what
there are a lot of
trees.
Them up there in the summer. There are a lot of defensemen up there in the summer.
Yeah. You know what? You make a good point. Everybody, I hear people talking today about number one centers, they don't grow on trees. It's the same thing. You're right. It's tough to find guys like that. But who puts the puck in the net from the right side if Brock Besser isn't there?
But again, guys, Besser, Jamie, ninth all-time in Canucks history for goals, fifth all-time in Canucks history for winning goals, game winners. And here's a question for you guys. If you take Brock out of the Vancouver lineup, what are you left with wingers in the top six?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know, but if I'm going to give you the I'm going to give you the names, Don. So from Saturday's game against Toronto, you're left with DeBrusque, O'Connor, and Sherwood. And say you move Garland up. So now, okay, he had 47 goals last year. I know, and I'm getting sick and tired of the people saying he can't skate, he's a weak skater. Well, what does it say about the Vancouver Canucks when their ninth all-time goal scorer is a weak skater, right? You know, he's got hockey sense.
I'm not sure that's the point you're trying to make, but all right.
Yeah.
Well, no, but what is it?
It says more about the Canucks.
No, but how can you criticize the guy for not skating when all he does is score? But that's what I'm trying to say,
I don't know,
Jamie.
It's hockey, so there's that.
He's a good player.
But he's got great hockey sense. Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, he's got great hockey sense, thinks the game at an elite level. He's got a great shot, goes to the right areas of the ice. There's a lot to like.
But is it 8x8? Is that?
No,
I'm with you. Like when it comes to Brock Besser, and we've talked about this a lot on our show, I really respect the way his game has evolved. I don't know about you, Thomas, but the way his game has evolved in that, you know, everybody in the first year or so, it was all about his shot.
Yeah.
And then the injuries happen, and now you see him and winning battles along the boards. His passing, I think, is underrated. He's used late in games. I have a lot of respect for him. Like, just the way his game has moved on. But 8x8 might be difficult, but I'm a big fan of his.
And, you know, Rick, you bring up how difficult it would be to trade him if you're in a playoff spot. The owner doesn't want to do it. I don't think anyone's expecting the Canucks to be traditional sellers, but I also don't think you can keep Brock Besser past the trade deadline if you don't think you're anywhere close to his number. If you think there's a real chance that you lose him, I think you have to have the guts to deal him in that situation, but you're probably buying as well. You know what I mean? Like, even if you trade Brock Besser, you're probably spending other assets to bolster your lineup, whether it's a cheaper rental or even, you know, a player that you think is a fit beyond this season. So my expectation, and we've seen this from this management team, right? They send one guy out, take the assets, flip it for another piece. Even if they trade Brock Besser, I still think they'll be doing some buying ahead of the deadline.
No way they're sellers. No way they're sellers. I think we all know that. But can you be a big buyer? Last year they were big buyers because they thought they had a shot at the cup, right? Lindholm.
They traded JT Miller for a player, prospect, and draft pick. Like, they have made trade already.
But what's the big but there, Thomas? but what's the big
tell us?
I don't know, but I like them.
Anyway,
like
Thomas, let me finish.
They grow on trees.
The big butts grow on trees. Anyways, but
if only.
Thomas, let me finish. Quit cackling. They were forced to move Miller, though, Thomas, because of the situation.
Right.
That wasn't a hockey trade. That was a trade to improve the dressing room, the culture. The two star players are fighting.
I get it. But it was still a seller trade, and then they turned around. Like, at the end of the day, it's one thing to say, hey, look, we've got a shot at, you know, going deep. We have a shot at winning our division. We're going to keep, you know, Nikita Zadorov beyond the deadline and Dakota Joshua and Tyler Myers because we're a team with a shot. It's another thing to be in eighth, you know what I mean? Having just had a 6-1-1 stretch that powered you by the rebuilding Calgary Flames in the Western Conference playoff race and then be like, okay, we've got this 28-year-old winger who scores 30 goals every year that he plays 82 games, scored 40 for us last year, came up clutch in the playoffs. You know, yeah, sure. Can you cast aspersions at his skating speed? Absolutely. Tyler Toffoli is still an effective NHL player in his mid-30s.
There you go.
And everyone said the same thing about his skating stride. Smart, right-handed, knows how to play offense, can hold up in tough minutes. It's not like we haven't seen this player type thrive into their mid-30s. You can't, you can't hold a player like that chasing playoff revenue as an eighth-seeded team. You know, as a team that's going to be like plus 200 to on the betting markets to beat a Winnipeg or a Vegas or an Edmonton in the first round. Like, that's ludicrous. That's asinine. Like, this team does have to figure out how they're going to approach things with Brock Besser. And if they don't think they have an opportunity to sign him, like, the cold, hard reality is you've got to manage that asset. You've got to manage your aggregate value. That doesn't preclude you from turning around and buying a cheaper player to fill in for him, whether it's like a Jason Zucker type or what have you, so that you at least maintain some quality in your top nine. I'm not saying wave the white flag on the season, but there's got to be a smart middle ground between these two options.
Yeah, no, good points. Very good points. Hey, look, I do believe that they want to sign Brock. They're just clearly, obviously, Alvin has said twice in the last 2 weeks, it takes two sides. So when a GM says it takes two sides, that's his way of saying, hey, we're far apart. And, you know, that's the bottom line. They're not close.
I want to say something about Besser's skating speed as well. You know, and people talk about him slowing down. He hasn't been that fast to start with, and look what he's done. Like, I mean that with respect, because he's done so much, despite not being the fastest player in the world. And who did you bring up, Thomas?
Tyler Toffoli,
Tyler Toffoli,
great example.
I mean, Corey Perry, never the fastest guy in the world, and he's still earning a National Hockey League paycheck. The Sedins weren't speed burners by any means.
Great points.
Their games have never Brock Besser's game, those other players' games have never depended on skating speed. So I don't know if it's as big a deal as a lot of people think.
I just wonder how much Jim Rutherford cares about it, though. Like, that, when I bring up Brock Besser's speed, it's not me saying, like, oh, you can't sign him because he's slow. I just know Jim Rutherford really likes having a lot of speed in the lineup. And we saw them at it with Filip Hedl and Drew O'Connor. And that's the biggest question for me, is not can Brock Besser still be a good player because of his foot speed. We've seen it. Of course he can. Tyler Toffoli, you go down the list. Yeah, you can. I just don't know if that's what the Canucks are looking to commit long-term to, given Jim Rutherford's track record and how much we know he likes fast players.
Yeah.
Well, they just gave Marcus Pettersson 6 years. He's 28 years old, right?
Different position.
Yeah, I know. I know. But I'm going to get to this. Well, Brock Besser turns 28 in a couple of weeks. So guess what? Maybe 28-year-olds, they're not in the mood to hand out 8-year deals. But if Brock is confident in his ability, and goal-scoring wingers on July 1st always do well, he'll do fine. He'll do fine on July 1st if it ends up that way.
Yeah, I have no concerns about Brock Besser and what he's going to end up doing on July 1st if he makes it there. We'll let you go in a second here, guys, but I mean, just to wrap up on the Four Nations, what's your confidence level? Team Canada here. I mean, it's Jordan Binnington in net. The American team looks pretty good. It's a short tournament. Lots of different things can happen. How you feeling about Team Canada's chances?
Man, you look at that, certainly the forward lines. Defense seems really, really strong. And people know it's all about the goaltending. I just have a stinking suspicion, and I know they've got injury issues, but I just have a feeling that all this talk about the Americans and the Canadians, they'll have all sorts of pressure. I won't be surprised if especially Sweden, because they're stronger, but if Sweden or Finland bite somebody and ends up winning this thing. So in other words, my confidence level maybe isn't as high as a lot of other people's.
Yeah, and the first game is huge here because there's no playoffs. It's straight from, you play your games and then you go straight to the championship game. So the margin for error very early in this tournament is very small because, as you told Jamie to Thomas yesterday, he didn't know the format, which is shocking. I was listening and I was loving it in my car. How does Thomas Drantz not know the format to a tournament? Like, I was in my car in absolute shock that this guy did not know the format.
It is an unusual format.
Yeah, Donnie, it's our job to know. And Thomas Drantz didn't know. I was in my car shocked.
There's a lot of things that you and I don't know.
Drantz getting taken to task for his research, for his preparation here by Dollywall.
Horrible research.
You're right. I'm sorry. I should take the Four Nations tournament format slightly more seriously. Excuse me. Yeah. My bad. I think a lot of this game tonight, though, between Sweden and the Sweden and Canada is going to come down to coaching. You know, the one thing they say, yeah, right, about that Swedish head coach, he's always ready, Sam Hlam. He's so rock steady. Sam.
Yeah. There you go.
Sam Hlam.
You won Rick back over with that one, Drance. That really got him. We'll leave it on that note, guys. Hopefully the game and the tournament is a whole lot of fun, and we will catch up next week. Thanks for doing this, fellas.
Thanks, guys.
Adios.
That is Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal, of course, joining us for the crossover. And you can see them on Donnie and Dolly Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Czech TV. They're hyped for the Four Nations. I'm hyped for the Four Nations.
Rick's just hyped that I didn't know the format. Let's be real.
he was like really upset at you for there. He's like, it's our job to know.
Yeah. whatever. I mean, I should have known. My bad.
Yeah, it happens.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's not going to keep me up at night.
I wouldn't expect it to. Certainly would not expect it to. We'll take a break here. We can look. So normally we do the whiteboard at 1:30. We're talking to Mike Medano at 1:30. So maybe we'll do like an informal edition of the whiteboard in the next segment, kind of get you caught up on everything you need to know for Canada and Sweden tonight in Montreal. You can keep sending your texts in as well. More Canucks talk on the other side here on Sportsnet 650.